On behalf of the Professional Baseball Strength and Conditioning Coaches Society, I'd like to welcome you to the PBSCCS podcast. I'm your host, Chris Messina. All right, everybody, I'm here with Gregory Bourne of the Miami Marlins organization. Greg, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate your time. Tell the listeners about yourself, if you would, please.
Well, Chris, thank you first and foremost for having me on your podcast, man. It means a lot. A little bit about me. My name is Gregory Bourne, like you said, Chris. I'm from Pearland, Texas. I did my undergraduate work at Miami University in Oxford, Ohio, the Red Hawks. My first time getting into strength conditioning would have been back in 2013 in the summer. I worked out of a little sports performance place called 0-60 Sports Performance, where we had people of all ages coming in. We had little elementary school kids that we would work with on up to professional athletes. There were a couple of professional guys that came through and got some work in. At the end of that internship, just talking with my mentor that was there, he recommended me to go and reach out to the strength and conditioning staff at the university that I was attending. So when I got back to school, I sent an email to the head guy, and I get an email back saying they wanted me to come in for an interview. So I put on my suit and tie, walked on over to the strength and conditioning facility, and had a sit down with the strength staff. Everything went well. They offered me an opportunity to work with the strength staff. Still came in contact with all those people, you know, to this day. Summer 2014, actually. We were just getting ready to break for the summer. I decided that I would send my resume and references out to a couple of professional teams. The Houston Astros was a big one that I sent it, or that I was interested in, just because it was in my hometown and it wasn't too far from where I live. So I went to the Astros website looking for emails, and I ended up finding the head guy's at the time's email. I sent him my resume and references, and next thing I know, I'm in class and I get a call from a Houston area number, and I didn't know who it was. They ended up leaving a voicemail, and I called him back right after class, and it happened to be the minor league coordinator at the time, the minor league coordinator. He went through a little interview process with me, asked me a couple questions, just tried to fill me out a little bit, see where my head was at, see if I was serious or not. That went well. The head guy ended up calling me, went through, asked him a couple questions. He asked me a couple of questions as well. Everything worked out, and I was able to be an intern with the big league club down in Houston. After that completed, that was only for a couple months, just for the summer. I had one more semester that I had to finish up. I went back to school, continued on with Miami, the Miami strength staff, and the graduation was starting to roll around, and I was just going to my usual strength and conditioning websites. The PBSCCS website was a big one. I knew I wanted to be into baseball. Sent my resume out to a couple of different teams. The Philadelphia Phillies were the first people to get back to me. Went through an interview process with them, and decided, hey, it feels like it's the best fit for me. So I joined the Phillies in a seasonal capacity. Joined the Phillies with their short season team. So I went through regular spring training, and then extended spring training as well. That was an experience. Learned a lot from the people that I was around. It was my actual first time not being an intern and being responsible for like players and implementing a program. Seasonal capacity after the end of the season, went back to the PBSCCS website and sent my resume and references off to a couple of other teams. The Red Sox got back to me initially, and they said, I guess that somebody may have been, have filled a position, or they were doing some kind of moving around. And a couple of weeks goes by, hear from some other teams. And then I get another email from the new minor league coordinator saying, hey, I got your resume references from the previous guy and wanted to do an interview with you. So we set up an interview time, went through that. Everything worked out, ended up being able to join the staff with the Red Sox, and went through two seasons with them, 2016 and 17. I worked with the High A Salem team in Salem, Virginia. Went from 2016 to 17. At the end of that season, I did a little internship with the University of North Texas down in Denton, Texas. It was a football-only internship, working primarily with football. And if I wanted to go out and work with some other teams, I was able to do that as well. I learned a lot from those guys there. Keep in contact with those guys. I've kept in contact with everybody that I've been with in the past. And ultimately, at the end of that little internship, I got a call from the head strength guy from the Houston Astros. He was telling me about, hey, I got this full-time opportunity for you. Somebody reached out to me, said, hey, give me your resume. Do you know anybody? So I sent him my resume and references, and that is how I ended up with the Miami Marlins. He had a connection with the coordinator now for the Miami Marlins. So
you've been all over, quite a journey into the current role with the Marlins. And so tell me some of the difficulties that you've experienced joining new organizations throughout, and even now just going from the seasonal roles to the full-time role with the Marlins. Just what kind of difficulties you've experienced along the way?
I guess one of the biggest things is going into a new organization and learning the system. Every organization that I've been a part of has a little bit different system, just the way that they carry things out, whether it's doing an FMS test for all the players, or just like the physical testing that we do, you know, during spring training. As far as like implementing the program, every team has had their own different templates. That's one of the biggest challenges. Another thing that would, I guess that's a challenge, is just creating buy-in within guys. These guys have never met you before. They've never seen you before. And then just coming into a new environment where they may have been there for 3, 4, 5, 6 years being in the same system. And then you're the new guy, just getting their confidence from the player. And then the last thing that isn't that big, well, it is, it's an important part, but is learning names throughout the system, all the players, the staff, coordinators, all that stuff is important. You learn their name, and then they, that can help create buy-in. If you're going around and you don't know anybody's name, it's not a good look. It's bad for the brand.
Just drop the classic, hey man, what's going on?
Yeah, or make the eye contact with them.
I hear you, man. No, I understand completely. My first year here with the Red Sox, I had to go through all the same stuff, man. I had seen some different things elsewhere, and coming in and learning the system and building buy-in with the players, and just getting to know names, where you got 200 plus players, staff, you know, front office, and you're just trying to learn everybody's name, and it's definitely not easy. So it seems like you've had to do that more than once too along your journey.
Yeah, I mean, everything, it comes over time. It comes over time as long as you work at it, make an effort.
Yeah, for sure. So what do you believe in within strength and conditioning that others think you are crazy for believing?
I would say like the setting of the weight room can affect how a player lives. That goes with, if you have a dirty weight room, guys aren't going to want to go in there. Or if they do go in there, they'll go in there, get what they need, and get out. They'll be in a hurry to get out. So I feel like having a clean weight room, music, I feel like music, the type of music that you have on can affect, I guess, what kind of players that you have in there, especially being in baseball. In baseball, you have a lot of different cultures. You throw Latin music on, you'll attract a lot of Latin players. If you throw the American music on, whether it's rap, country, rock, 80s rock or whatever, you'll attract a certain type of player to come in there. And then visual, another thing is like visual as in like a TV. I remember back at Miami University, the head guy, whenever the football guys would come in, they had a couple of TVs around the weight room. and he had this video that he would play. And on that video, he would have everything from strongman videos of like John Paul, Sig Morrison, pulling airplanes or pulling like 18 wheelers, and Ronnie Coleman flexing, you know, just flexing on stage, doing his bodybuilding thing. And I feel like that kind of, it was like a reminder for the guys whenever they looked up at the TV to like to get after it, you know, want to get as big as those guys were. For like having the music cranked up is huge. You can't have soft music playing and it's low. I feel like that kind of affects workout because guys like to be pumped up whenever they're getting after it.
Yeah, I mean, you've probably heard it from Edgar as many times as I have, is just the flow of the weight room really does make a difference. Like if you got a bunch of guys on one side and they're all trying to do the same thing and you're trying to get 50 guys through a workout, it doesn't work. So the flow really does matter, and how the weight room looks. You know, we just got a whole bunch of new stuff down in Fort Myers, and the guys are like, you know, it looks like a weight room now. Like that, we are excited to get after it. So it's something that you probably don't think about as much as we should, but it's definitely valuable for getting guys in and wanting to do their work and buying into what you're trying to do. So transitioning just a little bit, what do you think makes a strength and conditioning coach successful? Maybe just in general and then specifically in professional baseball.
Okay. In general, I would say what makes a strength conditioning coach successful is being able to create, I guess, that buy-in from the staff and the players. I feel like that goes a long way. Just as far as if you're able to create buy-in, you'll be able to get the players to do what you need them to do. From a staff's point of view, if you've got that buy-in with the coaching staff, they won't question every single little thing that you do with the players. They'll have full trust in you to be able to take a guy and do what you need to do with him and be done with it. Something to be successful in baseball, I would say being able to adapt. A lot of things, you get a long season in baseball. You have rainouts, you have delays, you have doubleheaders. You got to be able to adjust the program according to how the schedule is fit. You're not going to have the whole team come in and lift in the morning and you know you have a doubleheader. And a few hours. I think that just having feel and being able to adjust. Feel is huge in baseball.
Yeah, it's funny because the first thing, like, I never really heard about having feel until I got to baseball. And then, like, baseball is a game of adjustments. It's a cliche, but it's so true for everybody involved, not just the players, but all the staff members, the ATCs, the strength coaches. Like you said, your whole schedule, your whole plan can change the second it starts raining.
Right.
And like you have to be able to adjust on the fly. So for sure, like baseball specifically, having feel and being able to adjust is huge. So what advice do you have for others in the field? You've been all over, private setting, college setting, professional setting. You've seen it all. You've done it all. What advice do you have for others in the field?
Man, I haven't done it all, but I'm working. A big thing that I learned from you is like networking, getting out. And so like during spring training, you have different teams that come in and different coaches or different strength coaches that come in, just going over and saying hello and asking, hey, you need anything? Let us know. That's one thing that I've made an effort to do like these past couple of seasons is going over and talking and showing my face, shaking a hand. Getting to know the other guy, getting to know his journey, because everybody in strength and conditioning has a different journey. Has gone through different jobs, just has different backgrounds and stuff like that. So just getting over and meeting people. Also, networking is how I actually got the job that I'm in right now. Back working with the head guy with the Houston Astros. Somebody asked him if he knew a guy, and that's how I got into this job that I have. Another piece of advice is reading books, articles, handouts, anything that you can get your hands on, strength and conditioning related. There's lots of material out there. Lots of different websites that you can access for free, and just Google. It's unlimited out there. Those are the two biggest pieces of advice that I give.
So I'm glad you mentioned that because it leads me to my next question. Where are you going for continuing ed? What books are you reading? Are you listening to podcasts, attending any seminars? Where are you going for your continuing ed?
There's a couple of different websites that I go to. I go to like the Strength Performance website where they have like videos of the different colleges and different programs and what they're doing, what their weight rooms look like. They'll even have interviews with like the head strength coaches. Elite FTS, they have a lot of articles on there, a lot of for different sports, for powerlifting, rugby, football, baseball, everything is on there. And then also like the NSCA website. If you're working in baseball, you got to have your CSCS. If you have your CSCS, it's a good investment to go ahead and get the NSCA membership. You have access to a bunch of articles, videos. They have continuing education units on there as well. I go to the PBSCCS website. There's a lot of information, a lot of articles on there about nutrition and weightlifting and the different styles of lifting and training athletes in season, out of season. Let's see.
How about books? You reading any books right now?
Books? Yeah, man. So one of the I think one of the most influential books that I've read that's help boost my career is The CEO Strength Coach by Ron McKeefry. I read through that book and I just heard his journey and how he became a strength coach. And one of the parts in there that I focused in on was like the resume part. I saw how he said to like lay out your resume, and I looked at my resume and I changed it around, spiced it up a little bit. And I noticed that like when I sent it out, I actually got like responses from people. It was where in the past, maybe I get a response or I don't know, maybe a missed out on opportunity or maybe not. I don't know. Podcasts. I'm just now getting into podcasts. I've been listening to the PBSCCS podcast, but I've also been looking at like some health psychology type stuff, body language podcasts. That's something that interests me outside of work. That's it.
Now, it's funny when you read, man, even if it is a strength and conditioning book, like it doesn't necessarily have to be strength and conditioning, like X's and O's of the weight room that can help your career. Right. So it's funny that you mentioned that with McKeefrey's book and resumes and whatnot. And podcasts are cool because you can just listen to whatever you want. It doesn't have to be strength coaches all the time. There are other ways. Like you said, we have to have feel and make adjustments. So sometimes like the X's and O's don't apply as much. And listening to those other things, you know, like body language and leadership skills and all of that actually help us connect with our players more. So cool, man. Cool. So if you got time, I'd like to do a lightning round. I know you got a game going on today and you probably got to get running. But if you got time, let's do a lightning round.
Let's do it, man. Let's do it.
All right, man. First question, who is your biggest influence in the field of strength and conditioning?
Okay. My biggest influence and mentor. I have a couple of them, man. I have a couple.
Feel free to name them all.
Okay. I would say my top guy is a guy named Adam Thackeray. He was one of the assistant strength coaches at Miami University. He took me under his wing. He allowed me to work with sports that he covered. He fed me lots of articles and stuff about strength and conditioning. Another guy, Jacob Biting, he was the head guy with the Houston Astros. I constantly stayed in contact with him. Any questions that I had, I could go to him, just from like a baseball standpoint and just life and anything I can go to him. I can go on, but let's keep on going. Lightning round.
Okay. All right. Short and sweet. That's good. Second one piece of equipment to train with, what would it be?
Man, this is a hard question. I would say maybe a weight vest. I don't know.
Weight vest? Weight vest,
and you can adjust the different, being able to adjust the different weights.
Okay. Weight vest. Biggest accomplishment professionally and or personally?
Okay. biggest accomplishment personally is being married, getting married to the girl that I met in college. I had been with her for 6 years and finally tied the knot. So that's something that's important to me.
Congrats on that one. And she might be standing right in the background just hearing that. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. And any career other than strength and conditioning, what would you choose?
A career outside of strength conditioning, I would say like an FBI profiler.
Really?
It sounds like something that's pretty interesting. Like I said, I like to read like the health psychology books and like body language and all that type of stuff. So,
okay. All right, man. Well, it's been fun. I appreciate you sharing your journey with us and some good advice and all of that. If the listeners want to get in touch with you and learn more from you and network with you, where can they get in contact with you?
My personal email is gregory.born, B-O-U-R-N, at yahoo.com. Instagram is CoachGTB.
Perfect. All right, man. Well, I appreciate you coming on, spending some time with me this morning, and we'll talk to you soon. All right, everybody, that concludes this episode with Greg. I hope you enjoyed this one. Greg is a good friend of mine, and every time we talk, we always have good laughs and share good information with each other. Three things that I took from Greg: don't be afraid to reach out, keep in contact with everybody, and your environment that you create in the weight room does make a difference. With that being said, I hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll talk to you again on the next one.